You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Staying on the topic of Jacinda Ardern's resignation, I spoke to Associate Professor Bodo Lang of Marketing and at the Faculty of Business and Economics at the University of Auckland about Ardern's effect on Aotearoa's international brand and progressive reputation. I started off by getting his reaction to Ardern's resignation. Here he is now.
Yeah, I think I was certainly surprised. I didn't see it coming, but it's probably a good move. I mean, the stated reason was that she didn't have enough energy in the tank, and I think that's a really good reason to have, because I'm sure it's a very demanding job. But it was also probably a necessary step because, you know, her popularity has been waning, and, you know, if the Labour Party wants to stand a chance to be re-elected in October, they needed to do something drastic, and they could have either meant a drastic change in policy or a change in leadership. But I certainly didn't see it coming, I must say. I'm surprised by how much echo we've seen around the world in the media. If you think about it, we are a very, very small country. 5 million people, that's the size of a big city in most countries, you know, and really we punch well above our weight on the world stage. And I think Jacinda Ardern has certainly contributed to that, and I think that's really reflected in the reporting that I've seen overseas from the UK, from the US, from Germany. It's very interesting. We have a very large media image and a very large image actually overseas. And I think that's partially can be credited to her, no doubt about it.
Do you think that Jacinda Ardern really helped us become a more progressive country over her time as the Prime Minister of Aotearoa and really put that out across the globe as well?
Yes, I definitely think so. I think what Jacinda Ardern has done is she's certainly shown a leadership style which we haven't seen for some time, and that's one of authenticity, of very humane traits such as kindness, being inclusive, but also being firm when she needed to be. And I think making tough decisions, you know, that nobody wanted to be in lockdowns, but, you know, that was seen as the best strategy. And, you know, so really making tough calls with many competing priorities. I think she's really elevated us on the world stage in terms of two factors. And one is just simply awareness. You know, many more consumers and world leaders around the world, you know, are aware of New Zealand. And then also she's imbued our profile with qualities that I think many world leaders and consumers are actually looking for, you know, and that's empathy, authenticity, kindness, these sorts of things. And I think progressiveness is definitely part of it. I think, you know, when was the last time we've seen a world leader, embrace women who were, who were basically affected by a mosque shooting? And, you know, don a religious a hijab, you know. So I think she's been very authentic. She's had a very authentic style of leadership that I think, is not very often the case with politicians. You know, often they say the things that they know need to be said, but they just don't come across as authentic. And I think with her, the big difference was that it felt authentic. Whether it was or not, you know, only she can tell, really. But it certainly came across that way.
Now, obviously, Jacinda Ardern was not the most popular politician, especially over the last few years. She received a lot of sexist and ageist remarks from reporters, online commentators, fellow politicians over the course of her time. Do you think that this played a part in that resignation? And what are your thoughts on overseas media outlets having their take on this?
I think it's a good question. I definitely think that, you know, if you're receiving, the recipient of online bullying, and if you're receiving threats and these are logged by the police, I mean, that will unsettle anybody, you know, whether you're a prime minister or the neighborhood butcher. You know, I think that would be a very, very difficult thing to cope with psychologically. So I'm sure that plays a role in it. I think you just started the question by saying she hasn't been the most popular. Well, actually, she has been, you know, the most popular, but her popularity has waned. So even, you know, it's going down now, and it's been going down for a few months. But, you know, she's still more popular than Luxon, I believe. And so it's just that we've come from very, very high highs, you know, where she had approval ratings of more than 60%, to now, I think, much, much lower ratings. But she's still, I think, you know, the most preferred prime minister so far. So it's just that she's not as highly in her approval ratings as she used to be. I think whenever you have a progressive stance and you make decisions that are quite world-leading and that are maybe unusual, you know, that are maybe breaking the stereotype of what a politician ought to do, I think there will always be people who push back and who feel that this isn't the right thing. And I think if you're a young, attractive woman, I think, unfortunately, that makes you an even greater target of online threats and bullying and so forth. And I think in some ways that gives the leader, I think, certainly her, it gives her even more credibility because it meant that she's done things that, you know, that were possibly right, you know, that some people just disagreed with. And the only thing they can resort to were really low-handed comments, you know, by media, but also by fellow politicians. And I think that's just appalling, you know, and I think we ought to be clamping down on that sort of stuff much, much tougher. You know, I think we're far too lax in how we handle that type of stuff.
Would you say that her time as Prime Minister highlights the difference between holding a politician accountable and just criticising them quite lawlessly and, you know, for the sake of criticising them, or just plain bullying and being mean?
I think politicians will always face headwind. They will always have, you know, face criticism. And that is the job of the opposition, to pick holes, not so much in the person, but mostly in the policies. But people are much easier targets. And I think, unfortunately, you know, a younger female leader, I think somehow some members of society believe that that's a more kosher target for you know, headwind and for criticism. And I think that's sadly misguided. I think, you know, we really ought to be focusing on the issues rather than the people. If the people show fundamental flaws, then we ought to hone in on those, no doubt about it. But, you know, mostly politics should be about policies and you know, whether things have been effective and we've seen changes. But it's very, very easy to fall into this trap of, you know, of just criticizing the people for the sake of doing that, because ultimately that's what people vote for. They don't vote for policies. Most people don't know what the policies are. They just vote for people. And I think she has probably has faced more headwind and more personal headwind than many a former prime minister, I would say. And I think that's because of what she's done, but also it's probably also due because of who she is as a person. And I think it's very sad, but that's just reality. You know, that there is a segment of the population in New Zealand, you know, who are possibly older or just maybe a little bit more on the fringe, you know, economically or intellectually, and, you know, they feel that that's an appropriate way to conduct themselves, you know, really when we should be having logical decisions and discussions about what are the best choices, you know, when we have big problems like, you know, mosque shootings, when we have, you know, White Island volcano erupting, when we have COVID, when we have cost of living, you know, these are all really tricky problems to solve. There's no one silver bullet. And I think it's pretty tragic when people resort to just criticizing people and name-calling and threatening. But I think some people, that's all they can do. You know, they have a very limited repertoire, and that's all they can do. And I think she's unfortunately born more of that than most other prime ministers.
Jacinda Ardern has raised our profile globally as quite a progressive nation. Going into the future, obviously the election will be on October 14th. Would you encourage people more to vote based on policy to maintain that progressive stance and keep our country going?
I think the most important thing for us to do is, you know, as consumers, as voters, as citizens, is to take our duties as voters really seriously. And I think Barack Obama said some time ago, you know, that we have a civic responsibility to be well informed. And I think what that means is actually looking at policies when it comes time to the election. It's not so much about whether we like or dislike a person, because that's a very superficial way of voting, but it's actually about what are the policies, do I think they will, you know, they will benefit New Zealand or not. And I think that's what people should be voting on. But I think it's too many people, you know, vote in a very superficial way about whether they like or dislike a certain person and what they've said. But it really should be about the substance, you know. But unfortunately, many people don't. So I think my biggest advice would be for all of us to take elections very, very seriously, to participate in them, and then before we, you know, cast our paper, to seriously interrogate the policies and say, well, what do I think? Do I think those are things that are in the best interests of New Zealand? And then make your call based on that, rather than whether you like a certain man or dislike a certain woman. You know, I think that's a terrible way of voting, and that's a surefire way to get into a place where we're all worse off.
That was Associate Professor Bodo Lang from the University of Auckland speaking about Jacinda Ardern's effect on Aotearoa's international brand and progressive reputation following her resignation yesterday.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.